We're on the line now. I have Councillor David Healy with the Green Party. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning, Noel.
Okay, busy going around there, I'd say, at the moment.
Yeah, going around chatting to people at the doors.
Okay, well, this gives me a chance just to remind our listeners, because you'll be taking part in our election debate on the 3rd of February here on Monday in the centre here. So I'll see you here for that as well. But that's the election debate here on the RFM and in the centre here if anyone wants to come along. Okay, how's things going door to door? What sort of reception are you getting?
Yeah, it's going very well. I mean, what I suppose to think of this election and the previous one in May was that a lot of people are really interested in getting into the details of how we tackle climate change, the biodiversity crisis, the plastics in the sea, you know, all of the problems that we're causing to the environment.
Mm-hmm. Is that the main? Is that the main topic?
The main thing people are bringing up with us. Now, other parties, obviously, people will tend to talk to the Green Party about issues that they identify with us.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be a different experience for other parties, but certainly that's kind of the striking thing with us with this election, is that people really want to kind of get into the details and to have a good open chat about, okay, how do we make the changes? What changes do we need to make? How do we ensure that they happen smoothly? How do we ensure that it's fair to everybody in society as we go through this great transition to a zero carbon economy?
Okay. And if they don't bring it up as a part of your conversation as well as the main topic of conversation, I mean, how do you start off your conversation when someone answers the door?
I suppose I'll start off by explaining that I'm a councillor in Howth, part of the constituency, and that I'm the Green Party spokesperson on climate change. Then with the leaflets that I've got at the moment, we've got kind of four main issues on it. Climate, housing, transport and water quality in Dublin Bay in particular.
No, because I'm just, the reason I asked that question was I'm wondering, do you get any scepticism about climate change? Do we get any sort of mini Trumps on the doorstep?
I haven't met one yet, actually. Okay. That's an interesting question. I haven't met one yet.
You haven't met one yet. Okay, that's good. Yeah. No, there's been a couple of proposals I've heard from your colleagues, like as they were talking about maybe banning diesel cars along the canals and stuff like that. Some of it is a little bit radical to an extent, isn't it?
Well, I suppose in the sense that we need a radical change. And we can look at examples in other cities as to how, you know, life and many things have been made more effective by reducing the access of cars into the city and massively improving access for people walking, cycling and using public transport.
Mm-hmm. Well, the only thing I find with some of it over the years, I mean, it's partially contradiction, partly not following things through when we were well up in financially in the early 2000s. We didn't follow through with a lot of things, and housing was one of them. Transport was partially another as well. So it's sort of catch-up. It's always catch-up, no matter who's in power. So I won't sort of discriminate
there. That's
definitely
the case, you know. And like when you look at best practice in other countries, it's not uncommon. It's kind of standard practice in many places that they build the tram line to a new neighbourhood first, and then the builders use the tram to get to work. And they build the houses. And so obviously, when it starts off, you know the stops at the end of the tram line are not particularly busy. But they say that the most important thing is to get the infrastructure in first, to get people then to make their decision to buy the houses or to rent the houses there based on the fact that they'll be able to use public transport. Mm-hmm. Now, we do exactly the opposite. And when we built, you know, the new towns out in Blanchardstown, Clondalkin, Talla, we built them, and it was decades before we started to even think properly about the public transport network to go out there. And, you know, that's the kind of a lesson which we need to start learning from. And to a part degree, we're not always making that mistake. Clongriffin and Adamstown are examples of where we did do it in the right order and got the stations in first. But there are a lot of housing areas going in at the moment.
Okay,
which don't have the public transport services.
One of the bigger things, David, for instance, is flying an airplane, but you're working in conjunction with an airport plan. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So in Fingal, we've been looking at the impact of aviation, and I suppose there are two big issues. One is noise, the local noise impact, and Umbertonrola has decided that people need to have their sleep protected, and it is imposing a restriction on nighttime use of the airport in order for the public health impact if people can't get a good night's sleep. Unfortunately, the airport authority is determined to get around that restriction. It wants to be able to operate. At the moment, it can operate freely at nighttime, and when the new condition comes in, it can be restricted. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of an ongoing battle, and we remain to see exactly where it goes next. The other issue, of course, is the climate impact. And what we did agree in Fingal recently was that when we're looking at the predictions for use of the airport, that we will make predictions which are consistent with a decision to reduce climate impact. Up to now, the airport has said, look, these are our predictions for passenger numbers and for freight numbers. And they've been kind of business as usual predictions to say, well, if it keeps growing the way it is, how big will it get? And we're saying, no, you need to look at it and say, if collectively, as a global community, we fulfill our promises mm-hmm. to control emissions, then what impact will that have on passenger numbers and aviation? And we're saying that that's the level of aviation we need to plan for.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just to jumping around a little bit, have you any opinion at all on the strategic housing development? Because you have housing down on the bill as one of your mm-hmm. Things on the election and stuff like
Absolutely.
That. So how do you feel about that legislation? Because it's a bone of contention now. Unfortunately, it's been buried a little bit with the pension debate and all like that. But it's quite a...
And it's right. I mean, the idea behind the legislation was that it was supposed to deliver housing rapidly. But, of course, all the legislation itself does is deliver the planning permissions rapidly. And there's nothing stopping applicants and developers from going and getting their rapid planning permission and then not doing anything with the land for years. And that's what we're seeing. So if it was to be an effective piece of legislation, there would be a time restriction, there would be a requirement to go and implement straight away. But instead, what that's missing, and instead what we have is this rapid planning application system, which is too rapid, which means that important issues don't get thrashed out, that the public input is cut out of it. And the next thing that they've done is that Mbortonola doesn't have to comply with the local area plans and the county or city development plans.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had this big democratic process with a lot of participation to agree the overall planning strategy and conditions for the city and the county, and Mbortonola is ignoring them.
Okay.
What's in our development plans is very effective, considered planning. I don't agree with all of it, obviously, but it's a majority democratic decision.
It's ignored. Unfortunately, it's all lumped in together. You can't just pick and choose which part you like and dislike, so you have to go along with the full planning.
Clongriffin is a good instance where, you know, for 20 years now, the intention in Clongriffin has been to provide a mixed-use, high-density development around the train station. And this year, the developer went to Mbortonola and said, no, I want to provide a residential-only, you know, just a couple of shops, high-density development, no offices, no kind of significant employment. In the same buildings, the same high-rise tower buildings and high-density development at the train station. And the board said, yeah, that's okay, you can have that, you know. So 20 years of planning to say we're going to make a mixed-use community, they're going to make a place which is where there's activity and things happening day and night. As has been done and achieved in other parts, new parts of the city, in the docks areas, in Sandyford, that's just been ignored by Mbortonola, just at the request of one developer.
Okay,
despite the council and the city council planners and the councillors working on it for years.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, that there's a dragging of the feet. As a party, if you go in there, I don't mean to sound negative, but you'd be sort of, if you got in with the government like the last time, it's propping up the government, and you not feel that you don't have as much power to follow through on the things you're saying on the doorstep, if you follow what I mean.
Well,
it's an awkward situation, you have to hand it in that sense, but you just Green Party just hasn't got the numbers, and even less than they had before.
Yeah, well, we'll have more than, I think we're expecting to have more than we had the last time. when we had six TDs. We've three at the moment. But we were at six when the Greens were in government the last time. We're going to go into negotiations, not on the basis that we're going to definitely agree. If the negotiations don't work out and we don't see an agreement coming together that's adequate to the scale of the challenge, particularly in relation to climate change and environmental challenges, but also in relation to housing and health. If the agreement isn't up to scratch, then there won't be an agreement. Mm-hmm. It'll be up in the case of Green Party, it's up to a vote of the members to evaluate it and to make up their minds.
Okay.
So we'll see where it goes. There's no guarantee that we're going to be propping anybody up or taking part in any coalition.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll just have to wait and see. But it just seems like, listening around, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I'm saying what I'm doing at the moment is spending my time listening to what people are saying and what people are arguing about. And like myself, a lot of them maybe a little bit naive, saying that the situation is dire in the country with the housing, with the health situation, and lots of other things that's going on, and how a bunch of intelligent men just can't get together and solve the problem, no matter what party they're from. And why can't that attitude be there? I know it's, as I say, it's naive and idealistic, but still, that's the way people are thinking these days, I think, and they're getting very cynical and also...
I think, the housing challenge has been that they've been listening to the wrong people, and we can look at examples of how to address it in other countries, and public housing... cost rental housing, we would say, which is public housing, which covers its own costs, where the rents are high enough to meet the cost of building and maintaining the houses, and which is open to everybody, but the people on low incomes will get a subsidy, as they do already, for private rented, but that anybody can avail of public housing.
Okay.
That has, if you build that at a sufficient scale, that calms down the rental market. It stops the terrible increases that we've seen here.
And from the reaction, David, you're getting on the doorstep. Sorry.
Right, yeah.
Sorry for interrupting you. Now, from the reaction you're getting on the doorstep, be optimistic in the upcoming election now?
I'm hopeful. Yeah, I mean, I think there's...
There's a lot of doubt. You don't sound too hopeful there.
Well, we're not counting any chickens before they're hatched. It's up to the people, and that's a vote which is awaited and respected.
Mm-hmm.
But I am hopeful. I'm getting a good reaction from people. So, touch wood, if they come out and vote in line with the discussions we've been having, we'll have Green TD in Dublin Bay North, hopefully.
Okay, I look forward to seeing you in the debate here on the 3rd of February. It's at 7:30. It's in the Civic Centre here, and it'll be live on AirFM as well. We'll see what happens then. But thank you very much, David, for talking to us here on AirFM. It's been a great pleasure. And good luck in the
election. Okay, thank you very much, Noel.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. See you on Monday.
Bye-bye. Bye. And that's Councillor David Healy from the Green Party there. And good luck to him there in the election. Okay, and just to reiterate, the election debate is here on Near FM on the 3rd of February at 7:30, and David will be at that as well as a lot of other politicians as well. And a lively debate should be had by all. Do come along. You're welcome to come along here to the Civic Centre at 7:30, 3rd of February. So there you go.